thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
But let's get to God's word. If you have a Bible with you this morning, I'm going to be reading from two passages, but if you can, would you turn with me to Mark chapter 4, or if you want to turn it on as well, however you read God's word. Do you love God's word? Yes. Praise God. God's word is a light unto our feet. It's light, it's food, and it's a weapon in our hand. We need to know and live in and live out of God's word. So we're going to read a couple of stories, and we're going to hopefully be using a lot of scripture this morning, so stay with me if you can. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read a very well-known story. I'm going to be reading from verse 36. This is talking about Jesus and his disciples. I'm reading the ESV. And it says, "And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the storm, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said one to another, 'Who is this then that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" And we will finish reading there. And there is, in those few verses, there's a nice sermon, there's a good sermon about how we can trust God in the storm. So much so that even like Jesus, we can sleep through the hard times. And that is very true. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Amen? That is true. But let's fast forward a little in the Gospels. We're actually going to switch back to Matthew 26. We're going to fast forward. This was the storm and the calming of the storm relatively early in Jesus' ministry. But we're coming to the climax, if you like, of what Jesus came to this earth to do. We've just had he's just had the Last Supper communion. He's predicted his death once more, his betrayal. And an argument began amongst the disciples about who is the greatest. And then in Matthew 26, verse 36, it says this. "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' And then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So you could not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' And again for the second time he went and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass until I drink it, your will be done.' And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, 'Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" And again, we'll finish reading there. So, here's the question. How can Jesus sleep in the storm, but not in the garden? What's changed? Or you can ask the reverse of this. Why does Jesus need to be alert in the garden, awake in the garden, but he can sleep through the storm? Listen to me this morning. There are storms to sleep through, and there are battles to fight. There are storms to sleep through, and there are battles to fight. And we can have peace, we can have security and rest when the winds are blowing, and the rain is falling, and the waves are crashing in. When the whole world around us is falling apart, we can rest in that. But we can also have victory and testimony over the enemy, even in our sorest and most difficult trial. But many Christians miss out on the peace in their storm and the victory in their battle because, like the disciples, they get them the wrong way around. They are trying to fight the storm and they're trying to sleep in their battle. Have you ever tried to fight a storm? You can punch as hard as you want. You can swing a sword. You can wield an axe. You can fire a gun. You can take your weapon of choice. Makes no difference to the storm. You can't fight it. Similarly, ever tried to sleep in a battle? You can get your king-size bed. You can get your cozy pajamas on. Nice wee hot water bottle. Or electric blanket, don't mix the two though. That's what my mum always told me. You can get as comfortable as you like, but you know what happens when you try to sleep through a battle? You lose. And so this morning, I'm not going to overly spend time about talking about how to have peace in the storm or how to fight your battles. The short answer is this: in Christ you do both. But no, rather, I want to spend some time this morning looking at how do we know the difference? When should I go to sleep, rest, knowing that what happens is in God's hands and I can have peace knowing that He's in control? And when should I put on the whole armor of God and in Jesus' name and through the power of His Holy Spirit, fight and stay awake for the glory of God? And so we're going to spend a bit of time in a boat and we're going to spend a bit of time in garden. And God willing, by the end of this morning, you'll be sound asleep in your storms, not in the sermon, sound asleep in the storms, and you'll be fighting the good fight in our battles. That's what we're going to do, God willing. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is true. We thank you that it is powerful. Lord, I pray this morning for individuals, for families, maybe even for communities who are exhausted trying to fight something they shouldn't be fighting. Lord, I pray that they'd find rest and peace this morning. Lord, I pray for those who have maybe fallen asleep, Lord, when they should be on their fight, on their feet, awake and fighting. Lord, I pray that they would wake up this morning and fight the good fight. Lord, I pray that throughout the whole of this morning's message, that Jesus would be glorified. Holy Spirit, have your way. Do what only you can do. Lord, as Ravenhill says, don't just challenge us, but change us today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray and believe. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's start with the storm this morning. What is a storm? Do you get many storms in Ballymoney? Plenty going on in Lurgan, I tell you. But what is a storm? A storm is a violent disturbance of the atmosphere. And we get a wee bit of an insight throughout the Synoptic Gospels of the storm that Jesus and his disciples were in. Matthew, we've read it already, tells us that the storm was a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. Luke tells us that the wind was raging and the waves were raging. And Mark tells us that the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Storms bring chaos. They can wreck structures and vessels. And most importantly, they are outside of our control. Notice I say that they are outside of our control. For we know that all things are under God's control, and that is partly why, that's why the disciples wondered, who is this? That even the winds and the water obey him. They knew they couldn't control the storm. They knew only God can control the storm. And of course, as we are talking this morning, we understand that we're not talking about literal, the weather storms in our lives, but rather external events, violent disturbances in our atmosphere, situations that threaten to capsize us, to blow us off course, and if we allow them to terrify us to such an extent that we wonder if God even cares about us because of what's going on. And therein lies the real danger of trying to fight the storms ourselves. As we try to repel the effects of the storm, we feel, because you can't fight a storm. And so unbelief and fear creep in. We begin not just to question our own safety, but we begin to question the very character of God. God, do you not care? Do you not see what's going on? Why would you allow this to happen? But Jesus in our story exemplifies the complete trust that we should have in God, even in the fiercest storm. That when the waves are breaking in, we can rest soundly, even at the most dangerous point. Storms will come to us all. We cannot stop them. They will come. Our choice is whether we trust God in that storm, knowing that he will bring us through and enjoy the peace of knowing that he is in control and we can have security in that, or we exhaust ourselves trying to fight something that we cannot affect. So allow me for a few minutes to look at a few storms that the Bible tells us will come into our lives. And if they've come already or not, be assured, based on the authority of God's word, they will come to your life. This storm is coming. And if you're stressing, if you're anxious, if you're trying to gear up for a battle with these things, I want to encourage you, instead of adopting that approach, instead understand that when these storms hit you, Jesus is with you in it. He's told you it's coming and he's going to be with you in it. And as such, no matter what the outcome of that storm, you will be safe. He's with you. And so the first storm that we all must face is this. First storm that we all face is the future. Matthew 6 and 31, do not be anxious, Jesus says, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You can worry about tomorrow. You can stress, you can panic. In other words, you can try and fight it, but you're fighting a storm. You're swinging your fists at the wind. It won't change it. It's coming anyway. Now, by all means, to some extent, plan. Jesus was asleep in the storm. But Mark, I love this wee detail. Mark tells us he brings a wee pillow with him. He goes to sleep on the pillow. He took some comfort with him into the storm. And so even though tomorrow's coming and we can't change it, if you're going on holiday tomorrow, pack your bags today. If you've an exam next week, study for it. But ultimately, what will come, and you can't change it trying to fight it. So pray about tomorrow and then leave it in his hands. Go to sleep, confident in the peace that nothing comes that he hasn't already ordained. And worrying about it, fighting it, trying to fix it doesn't change it. While everyone else is anxious and unsure about what next week, next month, next year might bring, as Christians, we can rest safe in the knowledge that the birds don't have anything planned out, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you, church, not more valuable than birds? Your Heavenly Father loves you, and he holds tomorrow. What is the old cliche? It's cliche because it's true. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Does that mean that there's no trouble in tomorrow? No. John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. See that the world has trouble? but in him we can have peace. He not only holds the world, in fact, he has overcome the world. So rest easy. Tomorrow will come with its problems, but we can rest safe in the knowledge that Jesus is with us and Jesus will be with us tomorrow. Don't fight the storm of the future. Rest in him. Second storm that we can rest in, and we have a few of these to do, so we'll hurry a bit. We might not like this one. Second storm that will come to us all, Jesus tells us, is this: persecution. Matthew 5 and 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, listen to Jesus' words, when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus said this storm will come. Not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. This storm will hit. Now, we all will suffer persecution to various degrees. Taking a stand and work is obviously different from being burnt at the stake. But Jesus tells us that if you are his follower, it will come to your door. And here's the thing we often get wrong about persecution. We want to fight it. What about my rights? What about my feelings? Now listen, I'm not saying like the future that there's never anything you can't do about persecution. If someone punches you for being a Christian, tell the police about that. In Acts 22, Paul is arrested for preaching. They tie him down. They're about to whip him. And Paul says, is it lawful for you to do this? And they all back off. So it's not wrong to assert your legal rights, but if I may say so, there's a sneaking attitude that has invaded the Western church that any sort of persecution leads to a victim mentality. Poor us, defeated us, downtrodden us. Listen, we're victorious in Jesus' name. We're not the victims, we're the victors through Christ Jesus. But if we live in a victim mentality, and we therefore lead into a mindset of not talking out, of not sharing, of not talking and witnessing about Jesus, because we don't want to be called a name, we don't want to annoy anyone, so we back off. But Jesus tells us, John 15, 20, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And Paul tells us, 2 Timothy 3 and 12, all who desire to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. To live as a Christian means that the storm of persecution will hit you, either now or it will come. And you've got to go through it, not fight it. How do we find rest in persecution? How can anyone find peace in such difficult times? Well, Acts 5 and 40 says that when, this is the council, the religious council, when they had called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And 1 Peter 4 and 13, rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Whenever persecution comes, not only can we rest, the Bible tells us, but we can rejoice. Is that easy to do? Certainly not. But listen, like I say, persecution is going to come, and make no mistake, it is a storm, it is violent, it is ugly, but we can rest in it. Like the apostles, rest in the fact that the world sees us like it sees Jesus. Furthermore, this joyous truth that our Heavenly Father sees us as he sees Jesus. The storm of persecution will come. Jesus told us it would. But rest in it, knowing that you're being counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. It's a privilege to be counted like Jesus was. And so there's a storm of tomorrow, the future. There's a storm of persecution. All these things will come. But the third storm we can rest in, the third storm and the last storm that I'm going to talk about this morning, and these are getting bigger and bigger, these storms. Third storm that we can rest in as Christians is death. Death is a storm that all humanity will face. And should Jesus tarry, it's coming to us all. We must all weather this particular gale. But for the Christian, and I recognise that I don't really know who's in this room today, and so I want to be sensitive about these things, but hear me very clearly, whatever your circumstances, death is not a battle to fight, but it is a storm to rest in. One last disclaimer. Understand when I say we can't fight death, I'm not saying if you're sick, don't go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. But what I am saying is that for the Christian, when death does come, it is not some scary enemy who is looking to defeat us, but rather 1 Corinthians 15 verse 53, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, should Jesus tarry, we all must die. But for the Christian, no panic, no worry, no fear, because the power of death has been done away with. Jesus defeated death when he rose again. So for death, for us, death is not the end, but death is the door to glory. The winds may roar and the waves break, but Jesus is with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We can rest. We have no need to fight, for Jesus won this particular battle long ago. Death, like I say, is not the door to destruction, but it is the gateway to glory. And maybe you have received the worst news from the doctor. Listen, this storm, Christian, will not break you. In fact, you can have peace in the very darkest of places because Jesus is with you in the storm and he has already defeated the enemy who is death. We can rest in storms. We can have peace in the storms. And so there are three significant storms that as Christians we all must face, all go through. Don't fight them because they're coming. Don't be like the disciples asking, Lord, do you not care that I'm getting persecuted? Do you not care that I've received this bad news? Jesus does care and he's with you in it. He's in the same boat with you. He's with you in it. He is with you in the storm and gives you peace by letting you know that neither the storm or the future, persecution or even death can defeat us, for he has already overcome them. In fact, we have more than peace. We have rest in such storms. But there are some things that we should not sleep through. And like I said, church, we invite much unnecessary pain when we fight the storms and sleep in the battles. Because battles are different from storms. Battles are events or seasons in our lives that require us not to rest in the fact that we all must come through such things, but rather there are times when God has called us to be on our feet, called us to be filled with the power of his Holy Spirit, called us to be clothed in the armor he provides for us and fighting with the weapons he has given us. To be asleep in a battle can be fatal. And so quickly, and these are quicker than the storms, quickly, here are three battles that we must fight. Must fight or we will be wounded in. First battle we must fight is sin. Hebrews 12 and 4 says this, in your struggle against sin, you have not resisted yet to the point of shedding your blood. Hebrews 12 and 1, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And 2 Timothy 2 and 3, share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlists him. The Bible tells us to struggle against sin, to lay aside sin and to be like a soldier in our Christian walk. Now, I spent a bit of time earlier talking about not misunderstanding rest in the storm. And similarly, I don't want you to misunderstand the battle or the fight. Hear me very clearly, the battle is the Lord's. He defeats the power of sin. And so when we fight sin in our lives, it's not through our own strength, it's not through our own ability, but it's through His. And again, how to fight sin is a different sermon. But the point I'm making is this. Some of us are worried about tomorrow, a storm, but we are asleep to pride or lust or whatever else it might be in our own lives. We're panicking in the storms, but we're asleep in the battles. Waking up to the battle and rest in the storm. Do not make peace with sin in your life. Do not compromise over holiness, and do not excuse rebellion. Love Jesus and do what He says. Fight sin in Jesus' name and by Jesus' blood. Wake up, pick up the sword of the Spirit, and fight sin. As Ephesians 5 and 14 says, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise. Fight sin in your life. Don't be asleep to that enemy. Second battle we all must fight is temptation. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, no temptation has overcome to you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he also will provide the way of escape that you might be able to endure it. And we cannot escape temptation by sleepwalking into it. Paul tells us that God will always provide us a means of escape, but we must be awake to seize it. We must realize what's going on. The battle is on. Don't fall asleep. Let me give you a really quick example of this. I was talking to a young man a good while ago now, but he's a young man. He's not a teenager, but he's a young guy. He said, he came to me and he's really up, he was really beat up, really upset. He says to me, I've fallen. I don't know how it happened. Me and my date, we were out for dinner. Had a really, really nice time, and she came back to mine. And we had a few drinks. And it was late, so we decided to watch a movie and decided to watch it in bed. And it was too late for her to drive home. And so she stayed the night. And we made a mistake. I don't know how it happened. I said, I know. You sleepwalked into temptation. You were sleeping. You missed so many opportunities for a means of escape. Wake up. Don't be lured into situations where it would be very easy to sin. Wake up to what's going on around you. Wake up to who your friends are. Wake up to what movies you're watching. Wake up to what websites you're visiting. Wake up to what your accountant is recommending you do. Wake up before it's too late. Fight the battle. Get on your feet. Don't sleepwalk into temptation. And the last one that I'm going to mention this morning, Oral, there's many storms and there's many battles, but the last one that I'll mention this morning, the last battle to stay awake in is yourself. Myself. Not that you're fighting me, you understand what I'm saying. Galatians 5 and 16, Paul says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. In our reading this morning in the garden, it says that Jesus, going a little further, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus knew his human self, knew his flesh did not want to be separated from his heavenly Father, did not want to to be crucified? Who would want to be beaten and spat on and flogged and have nails pierced through his hands and feet and have a crown of thorns? Who would choose that? Who would want that? And for Jesus, the battle was on. And if he knew if he went to sleep on this, he would drift towards comfort and safety. Not what I want, but you want. He stayed awake. He fought the whole battle, and at the end of the battle, he declared, "It is finished." He did it. And if Jesus stayed awake, how much more so do we need to stay awake? Stay awake to ourselves. What was it he said to Peter? "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." The prophet tells us the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? And one thing, as I was talking to that young man, just sharing him some things that I put in place to make sure that I don't fall into temptation and don't gratify the flesh. He said, "Don't you trust other people? Don't you trust?" I said, no, don't you understand? I don't trust myself. It's me I'm against. Because I know that in myself there is no good thing. I am what I am by the grace of God. I need to trust his strength, his ability, not what I can do. And so we need to stay awake to ourselves. We must die to self daily. Look to walk in the Spirit and stay awake to his will, his kingdom, and not our own. And so there are battles to fight and there are storms to sleep through. I'm coming to the end. There are battles to fight and there are storms to sleep through. Getting them the wrong way round can be exhausting, can be damaging. But if we can tell the difference, if we can recognize, no, this has to come, I have to go through this, and I'm going to trust God in this. Or if we can go, well, actually, I've been told I need to gear up for this, I need to fight this, I need to trust in God's power and ability. I can't go to sleep, I need to recognize what's going on. If we can tell the difference, we can, in God's power, find peace in trouble and victory in battle. I'm going to close with a prayer, and this isn't my prayer. It was written, you may have heard some version of this, and he summarizes much more eloquently in a few lines what I've just spent a good chunk of time laying out before you. But it's by a guy called, I'll probably get this wrong, butcher it, Reinhold Niebuhr. Don't quote me on that. And this was his prayer. And I'm going to read this over you, and then I'm going to pray and then hand back over to Mark. This is what he says. "God, give me grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, storms. Courage to change the things which should be changed, battles. And the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other." Let me read that one more time. "God, give me the grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed. Courage to change the things which should be changed. And the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that when there are things going all around us, violent, ugly storms, Lord, that you invite us into peace and rest. That we have no fear in such circumstances because we serve the King of all the universe. That, Lord, you know the sparrows, you look after the very birds. And Lord, you sent your very own son to die for us. How much do you care for us? How much do you love us? And so, Lord, I pray if there are people going through storms today and they don't know what to do, Lord, I pray that they would find rest in you today. Lord, if they're trying to fight something, Lord, that they would lay down their arms. And Lord, like John at the Last Supper, Lord, that they would just rest on you, on your chest, Lord. Lord, we recognize, though, that there are things that you have called us to fight in Jesus' name. That there are victories to be won. Lord, that you empower us, that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. And so, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't sleep through battles that you call us to be fighting in, but Lord, that we would be alert, we would be awake, we would recognize the schemes of the enemy, and in Jesus' name and through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, we would see victory and enemies fall in Jesus' name. Lord, if there are some of us and we are sleeping through things that we should be fighting, in Jesus' name, wake us up this morning. Lord, may we not be casual or indifferent to sin and temptation and to the flesh, but Lord, may we be on our feet, ready to claim victory in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for wisdom this morning, that we may be able to tell one from the other. Lord, I thank you that in your grace, Lord, that we are not orphans, that we are not alone, but we are loved and we are sons and daughters. And Lord, we rejoice in the fact that you are with us always, even to the ends of the earth. So Lord, we commit this message to your hands. Lord, for the rest of our meeting today, Lord, I pray that you bless it and Christ would be glorified. And it's in his name I pray. And everybody say amen. 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 Praise God. And your
love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.